Welcome to the Bethany Hour with Pastor Richard Adams and Pastor Tim Reed. Join us as we look into the book of Luke.
One, two, three. When I sit back and imagine life without you, I can't fathom how I ever thought I'd make it on my own. On my own. And there's at least a million reasons I'm still standing here. You're my healing, this I know.
Yes, I know. You can't see the wind, but it moves the leaves from the bottom to the top of the tallest trees. You are everything I'll ever need, and I can't take that from me.
Hey. Oh, I feel it in my heart, I feel it in my soul. That's how I know. When I sit back and imagine life without you, I can't fathom how I ever thought I'd make it on my own. And there's at least a million reasons I'm still standing here believing. You're my comfort, you're my healing, this I know.
You can't see the wind, but it moves the leaves from the bottom to the top of the tallest trees. You are everything I'll ever need, and I can't take that from me.
That's how I know.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking into the book of Luke. Those of you who have been following along, Dr. Luke has been giving us his eye view into the early first century and the church and the Lord Jesus.
You know, it's an incredible thing to think that back 2,000 years ago, we didn't have all of the incredible technology that we have today. And yet there were eyewitness accounts. There were people that had seen Jesus. And obviously the oral story, the spoken word was out there, and they had a lot better memories than we do today. And he was able to put this letter together to his friend Theophilus. And what a wonderful letter it's been.
I think that was one of the ways they remembered things. We have a recorder. We can record things. But they actually use their brains.
Their mind.
They actually pass these things down from generation to generation. I mean, especially when you look at the amount of information that we have.
Oh, I'm telling you.
And the importance, really, of the resurrection. This was truly a world-changing event.
Yeah.
First person ever to actually rise from the dead.
Yeah.
To live for eternity and to be able to pass that on to people who repent and believe. That's pretty amazing.
It is so amazing. And that it's still applicable to us. Not just applicable, but the resurrection of Jesus still has power for us today.
And in Luke chapter 24, we're looking at it here where Jesus appears to the disciples, and they think they see a ghost, but he appears to them, and he shows them his hands and his feet. And then he asks them an amazing question. He says, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Now, if we know anything about anything, it's eating.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how to eat.
We're good at that. Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing because this is a universal, it's something that everyone in the world knows how to do.
Yep.
And some people do it better than others, but everybody knows how to do it.
And Pentecostal churches, Assemblies of God churches, when we throw a potluck, get ready. There's going to be some good food.
It's always good. And so he asked them if they have anything to eat. And to me, because they were frightened, they didn't know whether he was a ghost wouldn't ask for anything to eat because he doesn't need anything to eat. But here, Jesus is connecting with humanity because he lived in the flesh. And now, if you live in the flesh, you need to have food and sustenance to sustain the flesh.
Exactly.
So here, he is actually revealing to them who he really is. Look, I'm just like you. I was born of the flesh, but I've come also born of the Spirit, but here I'm going to reveal to you that I really am this Jesus who was resurrected, and now I'd just like to have something to eat with you.
You know, there were questions back in the day, back, 2,000 years ago. So people wondered, was he really human? You know, was he really God? And then there are some that said, yes, he was human, and yes, he was God. He was 100% both. And then when he came back to life, when he was resurrected, well, did his body really come back, or did he come back spiritually? And this question right here is one of many verses that you can use to say he was physically raised from the dead and he was still God because he just appeared in the room. And so there were things that were happening that you can put some theological truth to, an understanding about God is all, is that when somebody says, give me something to eat, they got to be feeding their flesh.
Yeah, and this is a pretty amazing statement, though, because actually, I don't know if I've ever done this, but if you're visiting somebody and maybe they're feeling a little weird about you being there, and they're wondering what are you there for, how come you've come to visit them, and I've never done this, but probably I should. You could ask them, do you have anything to eat? Do you have anything to eat? Because if you sit down and you break bread with somebody, something happens.
Yeah.
There's a fellowship that's there. All of a sudden, a lot of fears are gone.
Yep.
And so I think I might want to try this next time.
A kitchen table is a level playing field.
It is.
And everybody's able to sit at that table and just kind of share an opinion and drink a cup of coffee or, whatever. Have some bread and butter, maybe a little molasses on it.
So next time, maybe I get myself in a position where if I'm knocking on a door, talking with somebody, visiting somebody, and they're a little leery about me being there, maybe I just say, hey, do you have anything to eat?
Right.
Wow. Then they throw you out.
Then they throw you out. Did you bring anything to eat?
But what they did, the Bible says in verse number 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish.
Ooh.
Now, they even knew back then that fried fish probably wasn't that
good
for you.
Not good for you. No.
So they gave him broiled fish.
Yeah, under the fire.
Oh, well, that must have been fabulous. But they had a piece of broiled fish. Now, I would imagine it could have been cooked, and it could have been sitting around for a while.
Yep.
Maybe you know, almost like a piece of jerky, fish jerky, because it's already been cooked. I don't know. Maybe it's a fresh fire. But whatever it is, he took it and he ate it in their presence.
Yeah.
He ate it in their presence.
You know, it's, once again, this just answers so many questions and the importance of it, that Jesus came as a human being so he could relate with human beings, because we're fallen. We're fallen. We're sinful. He was not sinful. He lived without ever committing a sin. And because he was God, he laid down his life and paid the penalty for our sins. There all, so much stuff is happening right here in just these little things,
just
about
these few words.
Eating and being resurrected. It all points to who he is and what he did, that he came to rescue mankind.
And these are fishermen that he's talking to.
Yeah.
So fish, they've got it. They've got, they know something,
they know
about
what's
fish.
Going on.
And it's really, there's another point here that it says that he ate it in their presence. If you study anything about the British royalty, the queen never eats in anybody's presence. She will not eat at all. Yeah, it's just the royalty. I guess there's maybe something too human about eating in front of somebody. So the queen will not eat in front of anybody. So she doesn't. She just doesn't eat. And I think it's to maybe for people to not to see that she's just flesh and blood, that,
yeah.
that thinking she's more than just a person.
They're elevated. Yeah.
Elevated. Uh-huh. But here he eats in their presence. So it's an idea of saying, look, I'm just like you are. You have to do this. I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's great.
That's pretty amazing. And then he said to them, this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So Jesus had taught this, that he was going to have to die for the sins of the world. He taught that he would rise again. And he says all these things that were taught in the Old Testament also by Moses and all of the prophets and the psalmist, everything that was said about him, it had to be fulfilled. In other words, this is the way he had to actually go to bring salvation to mankind.
Yeah, you know, Matthew, another writer of the gospel, of one of the biographies of Jesus, if you will, he used several verses to once again fulfill what Jesus said here. You know, when things happened in Jesus's life, he would say, you know, this is what the law, or this is what the prophet said, or this is what the psalmist said, and here Jesus is the fulfillment of that. So Luke wraps up his letter to say this is what Jesus told him at the end. And if you read other passages of scripture, you'll find that Jesus did bring his disciples back to the Old Testament, which was their Bible at that time.
Yeah.
And so that he pointed out, here's what the Messiah was going to encounter, and I am that guy.
But the amazing thing, if you think about it, when he says this one statement, and you don't have to connect it to himself, you just connect it to what God says in his word, everything must be fulfilled.
Mm.
So you can be sure that everything that is written in this book, in this Bible, is going to be fulfilled, which means that there is coming an end to the world that we know of right now, that the spirit will overrule the death that comes through the flesh, and that God is going to fulfill all of his promises. Everything must be fulfilled. So if you're sitting back saying, well, it's not going to happen, this thing, this Christian thing they talk about, it's not going to happen, there's no heaven, there's none of this, there's none of that, you're just fooling yourself, because Jesus here tells you it will be fulfilled. It's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm reading through the book of Revelation right now, just in my personal Bible study. You know, and it's an interesting book for personal Bible study, but you read through some of this stuff, and what John, the Revelator, saw was people who were experiencing the wrath of God and things happening in the world, and yet they still didn't believe it.
They still didn't believe it.
They still wouldn't repent. They still wouldn't have a change of heart. But like you said, everything that God has promised will be fulfilled one day.
That's what he says. And this is a simple statement considering his resurrection, but it affects every promise that God has made. And the truth is you know, and I'm not... Sometimes people say, well, these preachers, all they do is they're alarmist, and they say all these things that are looking at happening in the world today. But when you see the craziness that's in the world today, when you see the tragedies, when you see the horrific events that are taking place in nature, when you see how they seem to be escalating, and the world doesn't talk about how they're escalating, but they're escalating around the world, and they're becoming more and more violent— Well, that's a sign, like you were reading in the book of Revelation, of the judgment days that's coming upon this earth, that God's going to release and allow the enemy to do these kinds of things, because he's going to separate the wheat and the chaff, the goat and the sheep.
And the sheep, yeah. Yeah, you know, there's definitely coming a day that this book that for 2,000 years has been talked about, promoted, preached, discussed, debated on college campuses and on YouTube and Facebook and all over the place.
Everywhere.
There's coming a day where this book, the world's best-selling book, will be revealed as the truth. And it's something that men and women have given their lives for two millennia. And so one day it's going to be fulfilled and happen. And it still amazes me that when that happens, some people just still don't believe it.
No.
Yeah.
You know, and that's usually one of the questions that some of these terrorists ask people. They ask, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the scriptures? Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Or do you believe the Quran? Or do you believe this? And they kind of make this a litmus test of what you are. And so if you say you believe the Bible, boom, off with the head.
Yeah.
I mean, because why? Because the enemy knows that this word of God is powerful and it's truth.
Yep. Yeah, and it's that truth, it's that gospel, like I said, that saves men and women from an eternity, a godless eternity.
So. So then he says in verse number 45, he opened their minds. This is Jesus. He tells them, first of all, that everything must be fulfilled. And he talks about all the law, the prophets and Moses and the psalmists. And then he opens their minds. Now, I like this particular fact.
Yeah.
It says so that they could understand the scriptures. Because here he's telling them, look in the scriptures and you're going to find everything that's written about me. And all of those things had to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And now he says, now, not only am I going to show you in the scriptures, but I'm going to open your mind.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we open our eyes and we read it, but that doesn't mean our mind is open.
No.
You can open your eyes and read and not have your mind opened at all.
Yeah. You know, this is that revelation.
That's it. Exactly.
Knowledge.
Yes.
That comes, I really believe, by the presence of the Holy Spirit within a person's life. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as we're born again, born of the Spirit. And that Holy Spirit empowers us to understand the scripture. Now, do we understand everything and can we answer all the questions? No, but that Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. And as we do read it, it's like the lights come on and the pages on this book become understandable to us.
Yeah, it's like in the hippie days, they used to say, whoa, that really blows my mind.
yeah.
That's kind of the idea here.
Sure.
Where, in other words, you have this concept in your mind, you have this understanding in your mind, but when the Holy Spirit comes and he opens your mind, he actually blows your mind open.
Yeah, he does.
So that you can grasp it, because the mind is so entrenched, if you will, and it's so permeated by worldly wisdom and thoughts, that it does take the Spirit to come in and to open the mind of men so they can understand the scriptures. Because we try to read things, and sometimes when we read, we don't even understand the words we're reading, let alone the principles that are behind those words. And here, the key is the Holy Spirit's going to help you to understand it. And that's what he promised. He's going to come. He's going to help you. He's going to be a teacher to you.
Yeah. You know, he's not just going to dwell within temples, you know, or tabernacles made by human hands, but he's going to dwell within our lives and within our bodies. And that dwelling within us, once again, illuminates our minds.
Yeah. So listen, if you want to understand the scriptures, and I know sometimes when we read them, and one of the great things is that we have all these new translations that really try to help us. Sometimes they're not as helpful as we would like for them to be. But nevertheless, the old King James was sometimes a little bit difficult for people to understand. So there's all kinds of good translations of the Bible. But if you really want to understand the scriptures, the idea here is that you have to have your mind open, that you have to have help here. And the way the help comes from, this one says Jesus is the one who helped open their minds.
Amen.
And I think Jesus is doing the same thing today through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit comes, he's a comforter, but he's also a teacher. And Jesus said he'll teach you all those things that I have commanded you. And so all the commandments of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and he helps us to understand them so that they're alive in our life and we can apply them.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing that happens
it's
when
a great picture.
When humanity, us, fallen sinners, connect with that Holy Spirit and he helps us.
So if you'd like to understand the scriptures better, there's several ways you can do that. You can take a Bible and you can pray, but one of the best ways to do it is when you get in the presence of the Lord. And so when people come together, two or three are gathered, Jesus says, I'm in the midst of them. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why we come to church. And when we're in the midst of a church service, oftentimes, even when the preacher is preaching on something that may be totally different, the Holy Spirit is still at work, yep, helping you to understand something that he wants you to see from the scriptures. And so sometimes when the scriptures read, all of a sudden there comes a deep understanding that is revealed to you by the Spirit. He opens your mind to that fact. And when that happens, you're able to change your attitude, and your attitude changes your perception. And all of a sudden you find yourself living differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's exciting.
When the Word of God gets into you and you understand it, you comprehend what is being said there, and you understand the reality of it, not only in this life, but in the life to come, it does change your life.
It does. And the scriptures do say that the Word of God is powerful, sharper mm-hmm. than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrows, a discerner of the thoughts and the yeah. intents of the heart. So it comes in, and the Word of God comes in, and it actually divides between what's soul and spirit. Yeah. It's the only thing that can do that. Sometimes our soulish ideas, and they're mindful of the things of the flesh and so forth, the Spirit comes in and really helps us understand we've been doing this thing all wrong.
Yeah.
We really need to follow God's Spirit.
Yeah, it's beautiful how God put it together. No
it's
mind
amazing.
Could put this together. Human mind, it had to be God.
Yeah. So this is what we ask. We just tell you, listen, if you're having difficulty understanding the scriptures, if you will come down to church service, and we recommend you come to Bethany and sit in one of our services yep. and let the Holy Spirit open your mind and be ready for God to give you direction into the scriptures, then we just ask you to come down and join us Sunday at 9 o'clock and Sunday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7 o'clock and just come, sit, and let the Holy Spirit open your mind.
Amen. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, God bless you. Have a great day.